classic cosmological argument for the existence of God. Say what? I'll explain on this edition of E-Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is E-Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach. To apply it to daily living. See?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Amos. We are going through the Old Testament as we continue with our Old Testament survey. If you were listening yesterday, I mentioned, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today, the importance of the people of God for the leaders of God. Look at Amos 2, 6 through 16, and that's the place, and you remember I taught you that Amos got a big crowd by criticizing the enemies of Israel. Or when they started listening, then he said, in effect, thou art the man. And now he's talking about Israel. And in the sixth verse, he starts, in fact, the rest of the book almost, he lays out God's judgment of the people of Israel. Now, in the 16th verse of the second chapter of Amos, there are these words. And you know, this is pretty heavy. I raised up some of your sons for prophets, and some of your young men for Nazarites. It is not indeed so. Is it not indeed so, O people of Israel, says the Lord. And here it comes. But you made the Nazarites drink wine, and you commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy. We saw that the Nazarites, and it comes from a word meaning consecrated, were set apart unto God, and they had taken vows not to drink any alcoholic beverages. And what Amos says as he speaks God's judgment is, you made them drink. You gave them booze. And therefore you took away from them the consecration that I had called them to. And he said, I raised up from among your families preachers and prophets and leaders, and you said to them, don't you dare say that. Let me tell you something very, very important. Let me tell you something you need to know. When men and women of God are withdrawn from the church of God, it is God's judgment. When the leaders are bad leaders, it is God's judgment of the church. And at that point, we need to ask ourselves, if we're members of a church and our leaders are bad leaders, what did we do wrong? Not what did they do wrong. And then we were talking in the break. I was talking to Eric and Tian. We were talking about some of the seminary students, and I spoke in chapel at seminary yesterday, and Eric came over there. I don't think Tian was there, but Eric came over and was in the sound booth to make sure the recording was going right. And he said, you know, I look out over those students, and boy, they're intense. They're really something. And he said, they really are committed. They want to serve the poor. They want to make a difference. And he said, is that true? And I said, yeah. It's cost those guys to be at that seminary. And I love to be around them. Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando is a wonderful place to be. Because these seminary students wash out my soul. But it's cost them to be there. It's an expensive place. It's cost them to be there because often their families didn't support them, and their churches and their friends told them they were crazy. And so they came anyway. It had cost, they're very intense because it's been hard to become a student at that seminary. It's very rigorous academically. And so they're really committed. Let me tell you something. That's God's gift to the church. We need to encourage that. Parents, you've got a son who's going to be a pastor, going to be a missionary, don't you say, son or daughter, you do something beneficial. You got to support your family. You need to encourage them. You need to lift them up. You need to stand with those that God sets aside, because the leaders of the church, whether it be pastors and preachers and formal teachers who make their living that way, or Sunday school teachers, or missionaries, or elders, or deacons, or people who are on the boards of the churches, these are people that God raise up to bless his people. And we're responsible for them. Now let me just mention Amos 3, 3 through 8. We're going to talk about this a lot more tomorrow. But as you look at those verses, you begin to look at a causal argument for the existence of God. For every effect, there must be a cause. And that's how you know there's a God. Who was the first cause? There's a cause and effect that goes back to the beginning. And if you're arguing for a belief in God, what was the first cause? Causal, cosmological argument for the existence of God. Then I'm going to talk to you more about that tomorrow, but for today, let me let you in on a secret. If we got into an argument about God, and I'm going to give you some of the arguments tomorrow, I'd win the argument if you don't believe. But between you and me, that's all I believe. You know why I believe? Because I was a mouse searching for a cat when I was looking for God, as C.S. Lewis said, because God caught me and found me. I believe because I believe, because I believe, because I've been loved. You think about that. Amen. Well, I generally take some time at the end of Wednesday's broadcast to answer some of your questions. We love to get your questions, but I have some housekeeping things to get out of the way here. A staff member gives me things that I need to say for each broadcast. Says remind them about the call letters. All right, give us the call letters of the station when you write a call. Says Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA, and it's widely recognized as a Christian financial organization to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. Key Life of Canada is now a member of CCCC, the Canadian Council of Christian Churches. It does the same thing in Canada that ECFA does in the States. And then we have a website, www.keylife.org. You can learn more about Key Life here. Today's broadcast, or the previous 30 broadcasts, which are archived there. There's a lot of neat stuff on that website. You can get a thought for the day also. And you can get information on our Pooped Pastors Conference. That's the conference where we're not going to do anything. We're just going to love each other. Dan Allender's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Peculiar People. Buddy Green's going to be there. That's in January 23rd through 25th. You might want to tell your pastor and go to our website or call us for the brochure. We'll send it to you. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE. And by the way, if you have a question, you've got to write it down. On that 1-800 number, you can get any of the variety of free things that I offer, or you can make a contribution. But you've got to write down your question. You send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email your questions to steve@keylife.org. And if you want a response, give us your regular mailing address. All right, now let's turn to these questions. This is from Tennessee. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Now, I don't know this person from Tennessee, but I bet they don't think I'm saved. This is called a doctrinal hunt to see if I'm as liberal as I sound. No, I'm not. I'm as fundamental as anybody you ever met. I'm as orthodox as you can possibly imagine. Yes, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ and the physical return of Christ to earth. You can always get our statement of faith at Key Life if you'd like that. I recently, and some of you heard it and wrote some letters to us and emailed us and called us, on a talk show, a Christian talk show, some guy said that I said, if you're sincere, you're going to go to heaven. Now, folks, that wasn't true. I've never said that. And there was no documentation, and he has since backed off, and I was able to go on the talk show and say that that's simply not true. The reason I have to be careful about that is because I sound out of the envelope. People say, well, that's just Steve. God love him. But he loves Jesus, and he believes the Bible. Now, if people start thinking I don't love Jesus or believe the Bible, then I'm in serious trouble here. So, dear friend in Tennessee, I love you, but yes, I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I believe in verbal plenary inspiration, salvation by faith in Christ alone, and you can pick them all off. And I believe every bit of it. All right. This is from Arizona. Why all the denominations? How can I choose one denomination over the others? All right, I'm going to fix it for you. Become a Presbyterian, and you'll solve the problem. Actually, I believe that denominations are God's gift as long as we don't throw rocks at each other. You know, I'm a Presbyterian. I can't get my hands above my belt, and some of you guys dance. I wouldn't be comfortable in your church. In heavens, you wouldn't be comfortable in my church. And so because we're wired differently, God understands that, and he brings us together in communities that are different. But we're all a part of the body of Christ if the scriptures are believed and Christ is exalted as the second person of the Trinity. And I would say to this person from Arizona, if you're looking for a church, I wouldn't so much look for a denomination as a church. I'd find a body of believers where the Bible is taught, where Christ is exalted, where people love each other, and then I would get involved. And if that requires you be involved in a larger judicatory of the church, a denomination, then I would suggest be a part of that and give it everything you've got. Now, this is from Illinois. What do you suppose we will spend all of our time doing in heaven? Well, playing harps, of course. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be able to read all of the books that C.S. Lewis has been writing since he was in heaven. You know, I always wish he hadn't died so soon, because I knew he had a bunch of good books in him, and I'm going to spend time talking to him. I don't know, and I'm being facetious, of course, but I do believe that heaven isn't a place we're going to worship, but it's going to be good worship. It's going to be the kind of worship where we just send chills up your back. You sit around and look at Jesus, and we'll say to each other, doesn't he shine? Doesn't he shine? We're going to rejoice and dance, and that's going to be a part of it. But listen, that's just the beginning. It's going to be a place of growth, I believe, a place of change, a place where we're challenged, but a place where we don't ever again have to worry about tears, about sickness, or about sin. Somebody said if we knew what heaven was really like, we'd all commit suicide to get there. That, of course, is one of the big sins, so we don't do that. But heaven's going to be all right, and you won't be bored. Well, I got to get out of here. I'm history. As Eric says, stick a fork in me, I'm done. Whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station, because a lot of people make this broadcast possible. And one other thing, T-Life is a listener-supported production of T-Life Network.